All right. Good morning, everyone. Let's begin. So we're going to do something a little bit. Yes. Yes. That only because we canceled. Correct. We canceled last week. So I'll announce it at the end that we are. All right. Good morning, everyone. We're going to do something a little bit different this morning. You know, we're in the middle of Kapitel Chaf Beis, and Emirat Hashem, we will pick up with that, God willing, after Pesach. But what I wanted to do for today is just to share with you a little bit of an insight from the Haggadah. So specifically, draw your attention, you know, each and every year. It's amazing that when you begin to study the Seder, you realize that although we are familiar with all of the parts and the processes and the various things that go on, there are things that occur during the Pesach Seder that when you take a step back to think about it, are sometimes difficult to comprehend. So for example, in number one, so towards the beginning of the Seder, one of the processes we have is what's called Yachatz. So Yachatz over here, and you can see I Yachatz from the Simani HaSeder, the breaking of the middle matzah. So right, we go ahead, we have three matzos at the Seder table, we take the middle matzah. So if we take a look, and you can see the English instructions over here, but take a look at number two, the Shulchan Aruch itself writes, B'yikach matzah ha'emsois, v'yatzen l'shtayim. Take the middle matzah, break it into two, v'yitein chetzya le'echad mehamesubin l'shamra la'afikoman. And then go ahead and give one of the halves, actually the larger half, give the larger half to one of the people at the Seder, the Shomra, in order to watch it, and it'll be consumed later on as Afikomen, v'nosnin osa tachas mapa. And we go ahead and we wrap the Afikomen in some type of cloth, v'chetzya hasheni yasim bein shtei ashlemos. And you take the other half, and you put it back in between the two whole matzos. So again, we've done Kadesh, Orchatz, Karpas, first three parts of the Seder, and then again, we're breaking this middle matzah. So what I'd like to try to explore today a little bit is, why do we do this? What's the meaning of this particular practice on a halachic level, and then perhaps on a hashkafic or philosophic level, what exactly is the message? Because remember, the one thing about the Pesach Seder, although it's true about Judaism in general, is there's nothing we do that doesn't have incredibly deep and profound meaning. So we're not just stam breaking a middle matzah. There's got to be something to it. So first of all, from a halachic perspective, look at number three. So the halicha shlomer shabbos al arbach zeichat tzadik levracha writes shebotzim es hamatzah kodim amiras hagadah. We break the matzah prior to the recitation of the Haggadah, because remember, we have Kadesh, Orchatz, Karpas, Yachatz. Only during Magid does the actual real recitation of the Haggadah begin. So Shlomo Zalman Arbach points out that we're breaking the middle matzah prior to the actual recitation of the Haggadah. Excuse me. Kedei laharos she'anachnu mis'askim b'tzarchei ha'achila, to show that we are engaging in tzarchei achila, in aspects of the meal, of food, v'shegam ha-hagodah hi mitzarchei ha-achila, and to show that the Haggadah is part of the achila, part of the meal as well, u'memela ein kan hefzik ben kiddush l'su'uda. So Shlomo Zalman Arbach gives a very interesting halachic reason. Excuse me. We know that there is a concept that you have to have kiddush b'makom su'uda. You have to make kiddush where you're going to eat, and kiddush is part and parcel of the meal itself. The difficulty we run into on the Seder night is what? Is you make kiddush, and then you don't get to the meal until, I guess it depends on your Seder, right? 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, however long it takes, but you're not getting to the meal until some significant amount of time after Kiddush. Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach felt that from a halachic perspective, you have to keep a certain degree of what we'll call meal continuity going between a Kiddush and the actual meal. So how do we do that? So right after Kiddush, we do a couple of other things, and then we break the matzah. The aspect of breaking the matzah is that we are going ahead and getting involved with a major staple food item of the Seder to keep the meal continuity going in order to connect Kiddush to the meal that will follow afterwards. Okay? If you look at number four, the Beis Yosef writes, again, these are just some halachic understandings of it. The Beis Yosef writes, Kasav HaKolbo, Haminag L'Chalka Kodim Shikra HaGadah, Kedei Sheyomar Aleha Halach Ma'anya, Malo'oni beprusa, afkan beprusa. So interestingly enough, so the Beis Yosef quotes a number of reasons. His first idea is, now we know, immediately after this we begin the Magid section. The Magid section of of the Seder begins with Halach Ma'anya. This is the poor man's food. Remember, what do we do during Halach Ma'anya? We actually lift up that broken piece. We lift up that half of the middle matzah. So why do we do that? So the Gemara says, Ma'ani darko beprusa, just as the ani, the poor person, doesn't have a whole item of food, but rather, again, has to make do with a piece. So too, again, on the night of the Seder, when we go ahead and make reference to the anius, the poverty aspect of matzah, because remember, matzah has a dual identity in and of itself. When we make reference to the poverty aspect of matzah, we raise up the half. Therefore, according to the Yosef, we need that half, because again, the half represents the lechem oni, not the bread of affliction, but in this case, the bread of poverty. He goes on, he gives another reason. Ve'ish omrim who another reason, says Beis Yosef, is that perhaps, again, the breaking of the matzah actually doesn't have all that much significance. What's the goal? Why do we do it? Simply because it looks strange. Why do we do things that look strange? In order to encourage the children to ask. Since a major part of the Seder night is to engage the next generation. So again, so this answer is always a safe answer with anything to do with the Seder, because you don't have to give a reason. It's strange, it looks strange, it's purposely strange that the kids get engaged. He gives another idea of Yesh Omrin, Kedei Shelo Yiru V'Yochlu Osa, Tochas Su'uda V'Shoge. He says another reason is, remember, what do you do with that larger half? That larger half is your afikomen, right? That's the extra kizayis of matzah that has to be consumed at the end of the meal. There was a concern, says the Beis Yosef, that if you don't actively set that aside now, what's going to happen? You may inadvertently consume it over the course of the meal, over the course of the Seder, and may not have enough matzah left over for afikoman. So the Beis Yosef therefore advances three different ideas. Either A, since Magid begins with a reference to lechem, only the bread of poverty, therefore you want to lift up a half of matzah representing poverty. B, it's a strange process intentionally in order to encourage the children to ask. Or C, in order to ensure that there is something left over for afikoman. Fine. Take a look at number five. The Beis Halevi brings down another interesting idea. This one we'll do more outside. The Beis Halevi says, I'll tell you this outside. The Beis Halevi writes something fascinating. He says that Karban Pesach, he says that the Afikoman is supposed to represent Karban Pesach. It's supposed to represent the Paschal Lamb. So the idea is that when it comes to Basar Kachim, when it comes to sacrificial meat requires Shmira. You have to guard it. You have to be vigilant about it. If there's a lapse in attention or there's a lapse of guarding of the meat, the meat itself becomes invalidated. So therefore, the Beis Halevi suggests, that the larger half of the matzah, which is the afikomen, which is supposed to represent the Karban Pesach, also requires shmira. Also requires guarding. That's why we wrap it up. That's why we put it away, symbolizing the process of the Karban Pesach. So what we have over here is just something very interesting. So these are all different halachic approaches as to why we are going ahead and breaking the middle matzah. So again, just to review, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach in number 3, it's to keep meal continuity or to keep Kiddush continuity, to continuously link Kiddush to the meal. And the way we do that at the beginning is by manipulating the matzah, showing that the Kiddush that we made is going on the matzah, is going to go on the meal afterwards, since we have such a lapse in between Kiddush and the actual meal itself. We have again, and the Beis Yosef quotes three different reasons, either to encourage the children to ask, either because of lechem oni, or in order that you not inadvertently go ahead and consume the matzah, and not have enough for afikoman, or the Beis Halevi, because the yachatz matzah is supposed to represent Karban Pesach. Karban Pesach needs shmira, needs watching, needs guarding, and therefore again, we guard the afikoman as well. Yes?
Take
a look at number 6. So this is very interesting. So this is from a Sefer Yerushalayim Lemo'adeha, which was compiled by Rav Avigdor Neven Zal Shlita. Rav Neven Zal was a Talmud Mufak, a Chavrusa of Shlomo Zalman Arbach, and he quotes many interesting things that he heard from Shlomo Zalman. So he quotes over here, B'shem Maran, Hagon Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach, Zichron Lebracha, Shelo Haisa Da'ato Noche, Miminhag Genevas Ha'afikoman. Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach was against the stealing of the afikoman, but for a totally different reason. He says, Kidei Shelo Yisraglu Lignov, in order that we not habituate our children to stealing. Right? He says, you have to understand something, just understand the psychology of it. Children are very black and white. Children are very black and white. Children are concrete thinkers. So meaning for them, see, adults understand that something could be prohibited, but yet in certain circumstances, it's permitted. Right? We understand that life is like that. There's black and white, but there's a lot of gray. For children, everything is black and white. So either stealing, Rosh Hashanah says, either stealing is permitted or it's prohibited. If it's prohibited, then there should be no license to do it. If you're going to tell me there's a license to do it, then that must mean ultimately it's permitted. So Rosh Hashanah was very against this process because he felt it just engendered a negative midah within children. He says, "V'lo zachisi lahavin dvar av bazeh." So Rav Nevin Zal writes, to be honest, I never understood why Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said this. He says, because in reality, stealing the afikoman is not going to set a child. You know, 20 years later, the child's not going to be at his trial in front of the grand jury saying, you know what, the downward spiral all started at the Pesach Seder, I stole the afikoman, and that was it. He says, v'tama minog, shatinokos machbin ha'afikoman, v'notlim azes charam, mipnei shahadavar gorim li hisho'er arnoim. See, he writes over here that what's the whole idea? Where does the concept of stealing the afikoman come from? The truth is not mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch. It's certainly not mentioned in the Gemara. Again, it's kind of it falls under this general idea of keeping children engaged. How are you, one of the incredible privileges of living in Eretz Yisrael is that, remember, the clocks change based on the Yamim Tovim. Right, so the clocks change based on Yom Kippur and based on Pesach. So right, in Chutz La'aretz, so part of Galus is time is not dependent on us. So right, we're going to start the Seder late at night. Right, late at night. So how do you keep children engaged? So remember, the Beis Yosef himself said before, that's part of the reason for Yachatz to begin with. We do something that looks strange in order that the children will say, hey, what's going on over here? Rav Nevin Zal writes, the truth is, the whole afikoman dynamic is just an extension of that same process. What's the best way to go ahead and ensure that the kids stay up and remain engaged for the Seder? Very simple, one word. It works in most things with kids. Bribery, right? So you go ahead and you keep them up, right? They're hiding the afikoman. They're excited about it. There's the hope of some type of bounty for the afikoman afterwards. It says, the Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, the children understand that this is not really a nice geneva. There's not a real act of theft over here, and therefore no problem. Okay, so fine. So this, so far, what we've done for now is we've analyzed just the halachos of yachatz. A, the fact that we're doing what the actual process is, and B, a variety of halachic reasons as to why it is that we're doing it. What is the halachic reason behind it? What I'd now like to explore a little bit is some of the philosophical ideas behind yachatz. What is the message? What is the idea? What is the take-home you sow from this process? So there are a number of different approaches to this. If you take a look at number 8, so this is from the Haggadah of Rav Shlomo Aviner. Rav Aviner is the Rosh Yeshiva of Ateretz Kohanim in the Old City, and also one of the Rabbanim in Beit El. And he wrote a beautiful, beautiful perush on the Haggadah. See, he says the following. He says, Yachatz, hachilek ha-katon shesamen bein shtei amatos ha-shlemos ulechem oni, she'ein darko shala'oni ela le'echol prusa kitana. Amnam, atos man chirusenu, lo zman oni, ela zman his rachavus ve'his angus va'achalta v'savata, ma'angeha li'olam kabo yunchalu. So Aviner raises a question here, which is a dominant question throughout the entire Pesach Seder, which is, there's a thematic contradiction throughout the entire Seder. On one hand, what we're supposed to be doing is expressing in a behavioral fashion our newfound freedom. On the other hand, there are so many aspects of the Seder that are reflective of our servitude. So here Aviner says, on one hand, you're taking the half a matzah, which is supposed to represent lechem oni, the bread of affliction, the bread of slavery. On the other hand, what else are you doing? We're doing haseba, we're drinking wine, we're doing all of these other things that are reflective of newfound freedom. So says Rav Aviner, why would we go ahead and make the matzah reflective of slavery when the theme of the entire night is supposed to be freedom? So he says something amazing. He says, Vein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sonei Asaguf, Vein Lanu Inyon Bisagafos, Bisagfonos. He says, V'yesh lahalos es amazon kula el hakodesh. So Rav Aviner says, one of the beautiful things about Judaism is not an ascetic religion. We do not believe that in order to come close to God, you have to divorce yourself from the world. We don't say that in order to find favor in God's eyes, you have to make yourself suffer. I'd say we don't have many of these other concepts that you find in other religions where the only way to come close to God is through is through deprivation. We don't have these concepts. Now, again, our concept is actually much harder because it's easy to disengage and say, come close to God by divorcing yourself from the world. It's much more difficult to engage the world and use every aspect of the world as a vehicle to come closer to the Ribono Shel Olam. So Rav Avinah writes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not tell us to despise our physicality, just the opposite. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us embrace our physicality, but use the aspects of our physicality to somehow come closer to the Ribono Shel Olam. He goes on, he says, V'yesh lahalos es hamazon kulo el HaKodesh. So for example, same way, we don't say starve yourself. What we say is, when you eat, what do we do when we eat? We make a bracha beforehand, we make a bracha afterwards, so we turn eating into a spiritual experience. We turn eating into a recognition that everything we have is from the Ribono Shel Olam. So he goes on, La imkein, lama lachzos es hamaso, lahagbilu letzamtzein. So why do we, if that's the case, that we're supposed to turn eating into a spiritual experience, so why do we have to break the matzah, right? Because remember, by breaking the matzah, you're diminishing the amount of matzah you have. Why do you have to break it? Instead, you should be able to eat the whole thing. It gives you more of an opportunity to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he says something amazing. He says, Elo sheterim higana ledar gozu, shekol pe'ulosinu ha'enoshios, misromamos ladar goshel kidusha, left hand column, what's the difficulty of being a physical being? The greatest challenge of being a physical being? I'm sorry?
Excess.
Excess, right? Because the problem is, on one hand, to a certain degree, our physicality is animal-like in nature, right? We have bodies, animals have bodies, we eat, animals eat. So it's very difficult to be able to... So what makes human consumption different than animalistic consumption? So Rav Avinah posits the fundamental difference is restraint. Human beings have the ability of restraint. Animals lack that. He says that's why when you speak about animal instincts, right? What are animal instincts? That an animal will sometimes act on something devoid. There's no intellect that's driving it. It's an inherent, innate behavior pattern. So what makes people different than animals is I don't have to live with animalistic instincts. I can make conscious decisions. And what's the greatest manifestation of human conscious decision-making abilities? Restraint. The ability to say no. The ability to withdraw. The ability to say, even though I can have that, I choose not to have that. He goes on. Terem higanu ladargo shachila atzmo yevodas Hashem al yona kachilas hakarbanos. So again, the goal over the course of the evening, of course, is to rise to a level where ultimately we will be mekadesh, we will sanctify everything. Remember, the Seder is a very physical experience, right? It's interesting that on the night we're supposed to connect with God. What are we doing? We're drinking wine and eating meat. Right, so whoever says Judaism is a hard religion, right? It's got, so here, the entire essence of the Leil HaSeder is a physical experience. And the goal is what we're trying to do over the course of the night is we're trying to show that I'm going to go ahead and uplift all of this physicality into a spiritual experience. That's what freedom really means. Freedom means the ability to take all of the trappings of the physical world and to make them holy. But before I can do that, I have to demonstrate that I have a particular koach, that I have a particular ability, and that's the ability to restrain myself, that I have the ability to say no, that I have the ability to say that even though I'm entitled to that, I choose to take a step back from it. He goes on. The ato alinu litzamtzima kefi ahechrich lekiyum gufenu achilu nikiya utahora umitoch kach nagia lebasof lemadregas hakdusha alyona. In order to sanctify physicality, man must first demonstrate that he has the ability to restrain himself in the world of physicality. So according to Rav Avinah, this is something so amazing. He says, you know why we break the middle matzah? What are we doing when we break the middle matzah? What are we doing? We're taking away a half from ourselves. What we're saying is, I've got these three matzahs in front of me, they're all mine. I am actively choosing to go ahead and break off half and put it away for later. I'm exercising restraint in the world of physical consumption. Says Rav Avinah, that is the first step to Kiddusha. I begin to say there with an act of restraint, And then I go ahead and over the course of the evening, as I enjoy and as I imbibe and as I partake of the beautiful Su'udah, I mean Mekadesh every single thing. So this, again, is such a profound idea that very incredible Chiddush, totally different than anything else that really you'll see anyone else bring down, any of these other Mefarshim. But again, it's not really about the matzah. It's not really about Lechem Oni. It's not about the kids. It's about me. The goal of, what's the goal of the Pesach Seder? What's the goal? The goal is to become free, because the truth is, none of us are really free. We're all enslaved to something. So the goal is to become free. So I have to go through the process of becoming free. Where I'm ultimately going to get to at the end of the Seder is, I'm going to be able to lift up every aspect of physicality all around me and find the holiness in there. But before I can do that, I first have to master the art of restraint. Yachatz, says Rav Aviner, is the art of restraint. That's one approach. Look at number 9. So this is from a beautiful Haggadah called the Historical Haggadah by Rabbi Nachman Cohen. Rabbi Cohen is a Rav in New York, incredible Talmud Chacham, and he just wrote a fascinating commentary on the Haggadah. So he writes over here the following. He says, 9a, the three matzos are reminiscent of the three temples. The middle matz, now this, others include this idea also, right? The three matzos have different Kohen Levi Yisrael, right? First Beis HaMikdash, second Beis HaMikdash, third Beis HaMikdash. But he takes this a step further. He says something fascinating. In the second temple, five major components were absent. They were the Aron, the Ark, Urim V'Tumim. Now the Urim V'Tumim refers to, you know, the Kohen Gadol wore a choshen, a breastplate. And on that breastplate was the 12 stones. Now, there was a fold on the back of the breastplate into which was inserted what's called the Urim V'Tumim. The Urim V'Tumim was a piece of parchment with a 72-letter name of God that was inserted into the fold, and so to speak, it was a spiritual battery of the Choshen, of the breastplate. Because remember, what they used to do with the breastplate is when they wanted to consult God, there were only two people who could consult God through the Choshen. They were either the Kohen Gadol or the Melech, the king, right? They were able to ask direct questions to the Ribono Shel Olam, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu would answer through the Choshen, right? Remember, we're familiar with this, the famous mice in the beginning of Shmuel Aleph, where Chana is davening in the Mishkan, right? And Eli accuses her of being a shikora, right? That she's shikra, that she's drunk, because she was davening there that nobody saw. So where did he come to that? Eli consulted the Urim V'Tumim, and the letters came out. Shikora. The problem is, to use the Urim V'Tumim appropriately, you also needed some degree of Ruach HaKodesh. He didn't unscramble the letters. It didn't say shikora, rather it said kishera. Kashera. So that's why when Chana, that's why Chana responds back to Eli, actually very stark, a little too stark it almost looks like. But she accuses him, like, what kind of Navi are you? You couldn't decipher the words. The letters came out there. It's not Shikora, it's Kashera. So that's the Urim V'Tumim. And so the Ark, Urim V'Tumim, the Divine Presence, the Shekhinah, was not present in the second Beis HaMikdash. What that has to do with, that has to do also with the Aron. If the Aron's not there, the Aron represents the seat of the Shekhinah. There's a certain aspect or dynamic of the Shekhinah that's missing. Prophecy and the heavenly fire, which descends to light the pyre. So again, that's the fire that came down from Shemayim to consume anything on the Mizbeach. Since these comprise the major spiritual components of the temple, we hide the larger broken pieces until the end of the second half of the Seder. So Rav Kohn makes a beautiful suggestion over here. So the middle matzah represents Bayis Sheni, the second Beis HaMikdash. The second Beis HaMikdash was not whole. So what do? We break the second matzah, but we take dafka, the larger half of the second matzah. Why? To show that the dominant aspects of the Beis HaMikdash were not present. They were not present. And what do? We wrap them in a cloth, and what do? We hide them for later. Why do we hide them for later? He says, that portion of the evening, until the second half of the Seder, that portion of the evening is devoted to future redemption. Remember, there's a fundamental thematic shift after benching. As soon as we get to the meal, that first part of the Seder is totally focused on Mitzrayim. After benching, we're more messianically focused. So when do we bring back the Afikomen? Well, before benching, right? When do we bring back the Afikomen? Right as we begin the second part of the Seder, which is focused on future redemption. When we begin the second part of the Seder, we recover that larger piece of matzah to illustrate that in the messianic era, all of the elements of missing in the second temple will reappear. Such a beautiful idea. So we bring back the second half, as if to say, as we begin to eat our third matzah as well, all of the aspects missing in the Bayis Sheni will reappear. Another approach. And this is actually quite amazing. Also from the Gemara Masechet Shabbos, and Rabbi Cohen builds on it. So take a look at number 10. And this is truly, truly beautiful. La'asid lavo, in the future, Yomar la kadosh baruch hu li Avraham. Now, future la'asid lavo always means messianic era, right? In the messianic era, God is going to say to Avraham, banecha chatuli, your children have sinned against me. Okay, Amar lefana ribono shel olam. Yimachu al kiddushas shemecha. So what is Avram going to say to God? God, if that's the case, if they sinned against you, then you know what? You should wipe them out. Obliterate them. Okay. Amar, God says, Amar le li Yaakov, dehavi le tzag yidol banim. So here's what's amazing about this Gemara. So here, Avram Avinu essentially sells us down the river, right? And says, all right, wipe them out. Wipe them out. They sinned, wipe them out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking for someone to advocate on behalf of the Jewish people. He says, Avram, you know what? Okay, you didn't give me the answer I want. I'm going to go to Yaakov. Why Yaakov? Because he says Yaakov had tsar gidol banim. Yaakov knew what it meant to deal with difficult children. So what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu looking for? He's looking for someone to relate to. Meaning maybe Avram doesn't have that same feeling. Because the truth is, when Yishmael became difficult, what did Avram do? Kicked them out, right? Avram really didn't have to contend with a difficult child because the moment that difficulty began, Ishmael was exiled from the home. So maybe I have to speak to someone who could relate to me, says God. We're dealing with difficult kids. So who should I speak to? I'll speak to Yaakov Avinu. Efshar debay rachmi alayu. Maybe Yaakov will daven for compassion for the Jewish people. Amarle, God says to Yaakov, banecha chatu. Your children have sinned. Speaking to Yaakov. Amar lefanav, ribono shel olam yimachu al kiddushas shemecha. So what does Yaakov say to? What does Yaakov say to? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, fine. If they've sinned, wipe them out. Wipe them out. They should be obliterated for the kiddush of your name. So God is a little bit upset. Amar, lo bisabi tama, velo bedardike eitza. The old man has no logic, and the young one has no counsel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very upset at Avraham and at Yaakov for not coming to the defense of the Jewish people. Amar lo li Yitzchak. So now he goes to Yitzchak. Now what's interesting is, he went out of order. The reason he went out of order is because Yitzchak's din. Yitzchak is strict justice. God is avoiding Yitzchak, you'll excuse me, like the plague. Right? Because Avram is chesed, so that's the first stop. Yaakov is not necessarily, Yaakov is also Tiferes, which is a different kind of Midah, but you see why it goes to Yaakov, because Yaakov had to deal with difficult kids, and yet somehow still was able, at least in some part, to keep the family together, at least to reunite the different factions of the family. So Yitzchak is only the last ditch effort after everyone else has come up short. So it says, Yitzchak, banecha chatuli, your children have sinned. Amar lefana ribono shel olam, banai velo banecha. So that's what Yitzchak Aminu says, and it's such a beautiful Gemara. Yitzchak says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who are you calling my kids? Right? They're my children, and they're not your children. You know, God, when they said Na'ase V'Nishma, Karasa Lahem B'ni B'chori. You know, when they said Na'ase V'Nishma, then they were your kids, right? Then you were happy, right? When they're good, they're your kids. Akshav Banai V'lo Banecha. And now that they're not doing what's right, now suddenly they're my kids and they're not yours. Listen to this. So you see, Yitzchak Avinu is giving the Ribono Shel Olam Musar. Right? How dare you call them my kids? They're your kids also. You want to take them. You want to take them when they're good? You want to take credit for them when they succeed? That's not parenting. Parenting is they're your kids no matter what they do. Va'od, listen to this. Va'od, kama chatu. Listen to this argument. Yitzchak says, and God, come on. How bad can they really be? Right? How much sin could they possibly perpetrate? After all, kamash nosav shel adam, how long does a person live for? Right? What's a normal lifespan? Shivim shana, right? In the words of David HaMelech. Right? 70 years. So listen to this. Dal esrim delo anashta alayu. So take off 20 right off the top. Why? Because a person is not held accountable for their actions by Beis Din Shalmala, by the heavenly court, until the age of 20. You're thinking, right, why didn't somebody tell me this before I was 20? Right? So therefore, a 70-year lifespan, you take off the first 20 years. Take off the first 20 years. Pashalu chamshin. So we're left with a lifespan of 50 years. Dal, listen to this. Dal esring v'chamisha delelusa. So take away 25 years of that. That's nighttime. What does that mean? Listen to this. Yitzchak Avinu says, truth is, people sleep away half of their lives anyway. So you can't be sinning while you're sleeping, right? So take off 25, just imagine that, how much of our life we do sleep away. So take off half of the lifespan, 25 years when people are sleeping. Pashaluhu esrin v'chamisha. We're left now, so now out of a 70-year lifespan, we're left with a maximum of 25 years that we can mess up. Dal tarti sri upalga. Take off 12 and a half years from that 25-year span. Why 12 and a half years? Because ditzaluye, a person's davening during that time, where you can't be doing anything wrong when you're davening. Nechal, a person's eating. Udebeis hakise, and a person is using the bathroom. Right? So between davening, eating, and using the bathroom, says Yitzchak Avinu, that's another 12 and a half years. So out of a full 70-year lifespan, how much time can you possibly have messed up? Pashuluhu tarti sri upalga. So out of a 70-year lifespan, Yitzchak Avinu says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the most they could have sinned is 12 and a half years worth of sin. That's the most. Im ata sovel es kulam, mutav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have broad shoulders. And the truth is, you can bear that. You could bear that weight of sin. 12 and a half years out of an entire lifetime, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have broad enough shoulders, you can handle it. Bimlav, but if for some reason you, God, don't want to assume the entirety of that spiritual burden, listen to what Yitzchak Avinu says. Palga alai, upalga alecha. I'll split it with you. You shoulder half, and I'll shoulder half. Ve'intinsa lomar kulam alai, and if you want to say I should shoulder the whole thing, no. Hakrevas nafshi kamoch. Yitzchak Avinu says, I already was willing to give you my whole life. I already came before you on the Mizbeach. I offered you myself in my entirety. You didn't want it, which is fine. But I'll take half, and you'll take half. Why is this Gemara important? Rabbi Kohn suggests that one of the symbolisms we have when it comes to the three matzos is that they refer to the three avos, to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. The middle matzah being Yitzchak Avinu. So what do we do with the middle matzah? We break the middle matzah, as if to show, that's the good Shiloh, who got the bigger half. I'm assuming that's for the Ribono Shel Olam. That's put away until the messianic part of the Seder. As if to show, as if to symbolize on the Leil HaSeder, again, that Yitzchak Avinu was willing to be Moser Nefesh, that Yitzchak Avinu was willing to sacrifice for his people, for us, his children, and was willing to assume upon his own shoulders the collective sin of the entirety of Klal Yisrael. So what comes out is something truly amazing. What we see is from this, and we'll discuss the deeper symbolism from this in just a moment, but what we see is from this, and this is just one piece of the Seder. At least you have a good Dvar Torah, some good Dvar Torah. But one little piece of the Seder, but you see again how rich it is in both halachic and philosophic symbolism. So halachically, we see all of the reasons why we would go ahead and break the middle half, all the reasons that we saw in the beginning of this year. And philosophically, we see incredible deep meanings in this as well. So we understand how, again, it's going a little bit out of order. It represents, the Seder is a tug of war between the past, the present, and the future, right? So we have the three matzos. The first Beis HaMikdash, done, part of our history. Third Beis HaMikdash, second Beis HaMikdash, part of our history also. But the third Beis HaMikdash is still to come. And the beauty of the third Beis HaMikdash is, it's going to have all of the pieces that were missing from the second Beis HaMikdash. We take that larger half, which represented so many of the beautiful aspects of the second temple that were absent in the second temple. We hide it away to the second Seder. So here, on one night, Rav Soloveitchik has a phrase that he calls, that in Judaism we have, what's called the unitive time consciousness. Unitive time consciousness means that we are able to exist in the past, present, and future simultaneously. And we do that all at the Seder. We remember that which happened thousands of years ago in Egypt. We go ahead and we recognize what's happening now, and yet we have an incredible eye towards what's going to happen in the future. All occurring at one Pesach Seder. All occurring in three matzos. We go ahead, says Rav Avinir, and break the middle matzo. Why? Because if the entire essence of the evening is to become free, and one of the greatest aspects of freedom is the ability to use your possessions in a holy way. Because remember, a slave doesn't have possessions. Right? Even from a halachic perspective, masha kana eved kana rabo, whatever the slave acquires automatically becomes the property of his master. Freedom is really manifest in the ability to have possessions. But having possessions is not an end. Having possessions is a means. When I have things in life, it gives me greater opportunities to serve HaKadosh Baruch. You know, I mentioned this to you before. The Stipler Gaon said, why does a person buy a home? I mentioned this in this year. Why does a person buy a home? The Stipler said, because you need a place to put your mezuzah. Now, right? Now the Stipler wasn't saying that tongue in cheek. What he was saying is everything is a question of your orientation. Beautiful thing is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Torah doesn't tell us, Judaism doesn't tell us, don't have a nice house. It doesn't tell us, don't drive a nice car. It doesn't say, don't wear nice clothing. You can do all of those things. The only question is, why are you doing it? For what purpose? Are you finding some type of Kadosh outlet for it? In which case, not only is it okay, but it's actually encouraged, it's actually sanctioned? Or do you feel that the possessions are an end, and that's it? And if it's an end, then that is truly a dead end in this world. So it says Rav Aviner, the goal of the entire Seder is what? To lift up our relationship with our materialism, so that by the end of the night, when we're drinking that wine, I'm not just drinking because I like a glass of wine. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you created grapes. And from these grapes comes this beautiful thing called wine. And this wine creates in me an incredible feeling of happiness and joy that allows me to come closer to you. I'm being ma'ala the wine, I'm being ma'ala the food. But says Rav Aviner, the prerequisite to sanctifying one's materialism is learning the art of restraint. So before we begin uplifting the materialism, we show that we have the ability to hold ourselves back. I would love to eat that whole middle matzah. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to break it in half. I'm going to take the larger half. I'm going to put it away till later. Not because I have to, but because I can. Because I'm exercising my ability to restrain myself. Lesson number one. Lesson number two. Says Rav Cohn, based on the Yitzchak Avinu, you know, on the night of the Seder, one of the things we have to realize is we are only here because of the sacrifices of those who came before us. We are only here. You know, sometimes we don't realize it. We live in an unparalleled time, where the truth is Judaism is easy. We live, thank God, even though we are in Golos, we're in a country that Baruch Hashem gives us incredible liberties. It was an amazing thing. Last week was the APAC conference. And what was amazing to see, you know, whether you're politically minded or not, here's what's amazing, is that the State of Israel is on the agenda of our country's top politicians. It's an amazing, one little sliver. In the New York Times a few days ago, there were three articles about Orthodox Jews. Three articles, and they were good, actually. That's the greater Kiddush, right? They were actually favorable. You realize the time that we live in. The time that we live in is, in Eretz Yisrael, of course, and even in Golos, that's the incredible part. It's amazing. What do we have to sacrifice? Yeah, we do have sacrifices. It's expensive to be Jewish. We have to give up a lot of things. But the truth is, if you compare that with the sacrifices of the past, it's nothing. There are no pogroms. Do you know that Pesach, you know, interesting enough, Rabbi Lau writes in his Haggadah, that's one of the reasons why Halach Ma'anya was included, because Halach Ma'anya is a later addition to the Haggadah. It's in Aramaic, as opposed to the rest of the Haggadah, which is in Hebrew. If you look at the last phrase, it says, Hashata Hacha, L'shana Haba Bardi, so Hashata Abdi, now we're slaves. You know why, says Rabbi Lau? Because historically, the historical Jew dreaded the Pesach Seder. Why? Because what do you mean that I'm supposed to feel free? You know that Pesach was the time, Pesach, because it often coincides with Easter, was the time of some of the greatest and most horrific barbaric pogroms, blood libels, massive spilling of Jewish blood. So Chazal, the rabbis, had to institute something to keep the Jew at the Seder table. We don't have that. We don't have that. What's our greatest Pesach challenge is if the supermarket runs low on the Passover aisle. Right? That's the challenge. That's the challenge. But we have to understand that we're only here today because of the incredible sacrifices of those who came before us. Yitzchak Avinu is a paradigm. Yitzchak Avinu represents the Jew who is willing to sacrifice everything for his people, for his God, for his Torah. And at the night of the Seder, when we celebrate our new freedom, we have to remember, freedom doesn't come cheap. Freedom only came about because of generations of Yitzchak Avinus who were willing to go ahead and assume incredible responsibility for the continuity of our people. And the goal of the Yachatz then is to inspire us to be ready to make our own sacrifices. Because the truth is, everybody has to sacrifice something. Whenever you go ahead and make a decision in life, you're always sacrificing. If I choose A, I'm sacrificing B. And a lot of times in life, we want to have our cake and eat it too. We want to be spiritual individuals. We want to be inspired. We want to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But sometimes we're not willing to make the necessary sacrifices. And those sacrifices are different for each of us in order to accomplish that. Freedom doesn't come without sacrifices. Relationships with HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not come without sacrifices. Meaningful Judaism does not come without sacrifices. Just like as a people, we had to do yachatz, as individuals, we have to do yachatz as well. Each and every one of us has to be willing. We all have to give up something. And again, that something is different for each of us. And the one thing we have to overcome is the notion, you know, sacrifice in our generation, in our culture, is a bad word. Right? Sacrifice sounds like something you have to do when you didn't play your cards right. Right? Because who should have to sacrifice? You should be able to have your cake and eat it too. It's not true. It's not true. Everybody has to sacrifice something. If you chose to be here this morning, it means you gave up doing something else. That's a sacrifice, right? Whatever you do in life, maybe it's cleaning, so maybe it's not so bad, right? Right? So whatever you do in life, you always have to sacrifice something. The goal in life is to make sure that you're sacrificing for the right things. Make sure that my priorities are correct so that when I do give up something, I'm giving up the right thing in order to acquire that which is truly beautiful, correct, and holy for me. That's the message of Yachatz. We recognize and we remember the sacrifices of the past, and we reinvigorate, we energize ourselves, we bolster ourselves to make the personal and national sacrifices of the present in order to what? In order to be able to secure for ourselves and for our people a beautiful future. So we should hope that in the merit of coming together just in the week and a half before Pesach, which is a very tumultuous and busy time, that in Yirtzeh Hashem we should be zocha to really do our own personal yachatz, a national yachatz, in the zechus of coming together to learn about the different parts of the Seder, that we should be zocha to have an uplifting Seder experience, and halavai, that when we open up the door for Eliyahu HaNavi by Shvo Chamascha, halavai we should be zocha to be greeted by a smiling countenance. All right, stop over here.